Get one of those Bibles in the seat. Turn to page 91. Got a question for you. You know, we tend to be judgmental, don't we, as humans? We see somebody that's not like we think they ought to be, so we judge them. And that's not right. We shouldn't do that. And I said we. But you know, we weren't sent into the world to be a judge. God spoke to my heart sometime a long time ago and said, I haven't given you a black robe, so you're not the judge. But what he did say is, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to witness. I think of a trial, you know, you got the judge, you got the jury, and then you got the witness. Well, what is a witness? A witness is a person who's called on to testify about something they know to be true, right? They're witnessing or sharing what they know to be a fact, and fact only, hopefully. Well, that's our job. That's our job. Well, let's look at our director, the one who came, who said his job was to be a witness, John. I love the book of John. I'm reading it again now. Just read it periodically. I'll go back and read the book of John again. I learn something every time I read it. And if you've got the Bible to page 91, John chapter 1, verse 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was what? The light of men. Notice that now, that light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. One version says, has not overcome it. But we know that by turning on your headlights, right? Simple as that. Turn the lights on, the lights override the dark. Wouldn't it be weird if you turned the lights on sometime and couldn't see? I mean, I know we've been in fog and smoke and whatever to where the lights wouldn't penetrate it, right? You've been there as a driver. I mean, nothing more scary to me than that. I'm not so worried about what I'm doing. It's who else is out there. I talked to a pilot friend of mine. He owns his own airplanes up here in Stockbridge, and he never flies through a heavy cloud because he don't know who's in there. He got a small plane, you know, a single-engine plane, so he can just go around the cloud. If it's a big, I noticed him doing that. He flew us home from Mississippi one time when the bus went down. Our motorhome blew up out there, and he called. He just said, "I'll come get you." So he flew out and got us. But anyway, he didn't want to go into that because it was uncertain. He couldn't see. Now, spiritually, we ought to stay away from places where we can't see. In other words, we can't see the light for the darkness of the world. Carrie and I was talking earlier about some places we used to visit before Christ, and it wasn't good. We couldn't see it. There wasn't any light there, for sure, and it wasn't good. But now let's go on. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Now, verse 6, here is introducing John. There was a man sent from God. See, that's important. He didn't just happen along. You don't just happen along. God sends you. You see, the Bible says the footsteps of a good person are ordered or directed by the Lord. Nothing happens by coincidence in a Christian's life. When you're living for God, everything happens, good and bad, for a reason. Now, I don't want the bad. I'm like you. I don't want none of that. Flat tire, whatever. I don't want none of that. But it is part of the package. I don't like my clutch knees going out on me. I don't like that. But it's part of the package of life. He says here, this man was sent from God whose name was John. Now, verse 7 is his job description, and it's ours as well. This man came for a witness to bear witness of what?
The light.
The light. Who is the light?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, right? He was to come and tell everybody about the light, Jesus Christ. What's our job?
Same thing,
exactly. We can't tell nobody about Jesus if we're condemning them. Hello? Yep. We can't tell nobody about Jesus if all we do is condemn or criticize. I'm talking to me too now, all right? It's hard sometimes to do that. You look around and think, you know, that ain't right, they don't look right, they don't dress right, whatever. Not my business. My business is to tell them a better way, and that's Jesus Christ. Not tell them you're going down the wrong road. They know that. Now, don't get me wrong. Sin is still sin. Let's not compromise there, because the world has seen the church compromise too much. I'm not saying turn a blind eye to it, but I'm saying approach it without criticism and condemnation and say, you know, you think you're having fun. I can tell you how to have real fun. I got high on Jesus Christ December the 19th, 1971, and I haven't come down yet. That's a pretty good drug, ain't it? I mean, one dose. Wow. That's real. And I don't plan to ever come down. He came to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. Now, through us, through the witnesses, people believe in Jesus Christ or reject Jesus Christ by watching and listening to you and me. Now, well, I got Chapter and Joe on my shirt and all that today. But what about the days when I don't have that on, I'm not in the chapel, I'm where I think nobody knows me? What's Joe like then? Well, God knows, don't you? Can't hide. That's right. Be the same way all the time. Some people think I don't ever have a problem because they see me. And I said, well, I have all kind of problems. I just don't let the problem get me. See, I already know the answer. I just don't know when it's going to happen, right? I don't know how it's going to happen, but he promised in his word that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. See, I have that promise. And I've looked at some pretty bleak things in our life, and I think, God, how could this be good? How in the world are you going to make this good? Some of you heard, standing watching my granddaughter die, standing at the foot of her bed in the hospital and doing everything imaginable to save her life, and it was not to be. My thought is, God, how could this be good? But I know, even though I'm hurting right now, even though I'm just torn apart, I know you're going to make this good. This is going to turn around and be good. And it did. And it is. One is, she won't ever take a Tylenol. She's in heaven. Amen? Absolutely perfect. Now, because we're a witness of the light, it doesn't make us the light. Now, some get so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You know what I mean? So we're so careful not to get in the world. But the Bible says you'll be in the world, but not of the world. There's a big difference. We need to be in the world. We need to be witness to everybody. I mean, hey, I can tell you something good. This is good. The best life by far anybody could ever have is dedicated to Jesus Christ. He said he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, let's fast forward now. You say, well, that's all well and good. That was John. That ain't me. He was talking about John the Baptist. Yep. My buddy in Oklahoma says John the Southern Baptist. It don't say Southern Baptist. He just kind of throws that in there. Turn over to page 33. Let's see what he's telling us to do. Now, by the way, everything he told his disciples when he was alive and walking on this earth, page 33, should be Matthew 28. What we call the Great Commission, what is commonly called the Great Commission. Everything he told his disciples, he's told us. Anytime you read something and he told them, he's telling you and me, okay? Everything is applicable to you and me. And in Matthew 28:18, He said, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What's the first word in 19?
Go.
Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all truck drivers. That's my nation. Amen. Of all nations. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And I believe with all of my heart, he put us here for a reason. I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute. But he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. You see, it passes on down. Everything he taught them is for us. The disciples taught the next group. They taught the next group. And on down through these past 2,000 years, this old story, that old gospel song talks about the old story, it's here. It hadn't changed a bit. How we do it has changed. You know, the technology we have today, I mean, it amazes me. I can speak on satellite radio on Sunday morning, and it goes from Earth to the satellite back in your truck in less than a split second. Now, I don't know about you, but that goes right over my head. How in the world can that happen? Not only that, it anywhere in the world, that my voice can be heard in a split second anywhere in the world. Now, the reason I say that is Jesus said to the disciples, he said, all these things you see me doing, you're going to do. And even greater things. And I think one of the things he was talking about was technology. You can speak on your CB radio, right? Talk to people in 10-mile radius of your truck, usually. That's one of the things he said for you to do. CB means Christian Broadcasting, I thought. I mean, hey. We have here what I call Exit 201 Farmer's Market. You know, this one will advertise this, that one advertise that. And that's I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying they just kind of get in line. I like to get on mine and say, okay, now it's time for Jesus. You could sell your goods. We could sell his good. Amen? So he said that we were to teach them who? The world, whoever we come in contact with in our own way. Teach them to observe everything in this book. If you don't read the book, how are you going to know how to do that? You don't need a degree to do that. All you need is desire. Not a degree, desire. Have a desire to reach the lost for Christ. And I love to do that. That's my favorite pastime. I love to, when I'm on the road somewhere, and I see a prostitute, you know, and of course, I'm not saying that critically. We know who each other is, okay, that's understood. I love to tell her about Jesus dying for her. And I always say, a man would be proud to call you his wife. You don't need this. Jesus has got something better for you than this. But by the way, I'm very cautious with that. I'm never alone doing that. See, I also know my enemy, the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, right? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's not asleep, but I'm not scared of him either. We can't act in fear because, again, we already know who's won. Our battle's over. It's already won. All we got to do is witness and tell people about Jesus. Every born-again Christian has received this commission. We find in Matthew 28, every born-again Christian is supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I heard one person say, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Think about that. Live the gospel is even better. All right? Turn to page 117. Along with the Great Commission, he empowered us to do his job. He never sends us out to do something without giving us the power to do it. I've said many times, it would be absolutely silly if your company said, we got a load in Jackson, Georgia, going to Miami, Florida. Get it down there the best way you can. Don't got no truck, but just get it down there. No, they give you a truck and a trailer to do it with, right? What would you say if they told you, we don't have no truck, but I need to take this load to Miami? Well, ain't going to happen. Well, Jesus is the same way. When he called us to go and be witnesses, Acts 1 and 8. Are you there at page 117? Verse 6, started verse 6, said, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, this is, by the way, this is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, right? And this is the beginning of the New Testament church age, is the book of Acts. They asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons when the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, don't worry about time schedule. Don't worry about all that. That'll happen in due time. Of course, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I want to know when. God said, I want you to go, and I just take off running, you know, and spiritually get out in the middle of a desert somewhere, totally confused, and say, God, where are you? And he says, Joe, I'm back here with the rest of your instructions. You left a little prematurely. He said, go. I took off. You know, trucking, I mean, you're late when you start. Let's go. It's not for us to know all the time zones. Just do what we can. By the way, the word preacher, take the P off and you know what our job is. Reacher. All of us are reachers. All right? Now it goes on to say in verse 8, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Woo, I like that. I've always liked power. I like to shoot a high-powered rifle, which I have one. I like my shotgun. I got a 22, but that's... That's almost like a toy, you know. I got it for rat shot to shoot geese out of my yard, but that's another story. Scare them out of my yard, I'm sorry. I like power, you know. I remember the old days we didn't have none, but now you're running, what, 500-600 horsepower engines and trucks. Carrie and I go way back. When if you had bigger than a 250, you had a big truck. If you had a sleeper at all, you had a big truck. But he says, we shall, I like that word shall, you shall receive power when what happens? When does the Holy Spirit come on a person? Huh? That's right. When you're born again. The Holy Spirit, we say Jesus lives in me, and that's okay, but that's technically not correct. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Amen? God the Holy Spirit, the third party of the Godhead. In other words, each has a distinctive role. There are three entities of one God, and we'll never pick that up. Our little pea brain mind can't understand how three can be one and one three, but they have a distinct role. When we're born again, this Holy Spirit, the power, and this amazes me to think that God would live in me. God, the Holy Spirit. It is God, isn't it? He is God, right? And he lives in you and me. That's awesome. And you think I'm supposed to be afraid of somebody? Back in the before Christ days, we call it B.C., we wind up in Miami or Hilliard, Hialeah, Florida, place down there called Victor's Bar. As soon as we got to Miami, that's where we wound up. That's where we go. had a guy about Carrie's size that drove for the same company I did called Big Al. And I always let Al go in front of me. I ain't stupid. If they get Al, I ain't got a chance, right? My point is now, Al could fail me. Al could walk out on me. But now I have the Holy Spirit of God living in me. And I have nothing to fear. Because if I go somewhere, or when I go somewhere, I'm going because the Holy Spirit led me. And by the way, he don't lead me back in those places. Again, that's the darkness. The light's not there. I'm not there either. Now I'll stand just outside and catch them when they come out. We're going to fight on my term, not the enemy's term. Amen? Amen? Now if he sends you in there, that's between you and him. But he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what will happen? What does he do it for? You shall be what? Witnesses to me, or witnesses of that light, right? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, why do you suppose he started with Jerusalem? Anybody want to take a guess? That too. But there's another reason. That's where they were. I have a friend, Don Farrell, lives here in Jackson. He's a pastor, Trish's pastor. Don says, start where you are with what you have. Isn't that simple theology? Just start where you are with what you have. As a born-again Christian, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Wherever you are needs witnessing. So we don't have to go somewhere. You know, we think of the mission field as going to another country somewhere, maybe a third world country, and that's all well and good. That's fine. People will go there every day, and thank God for it. But what about us that will never get to go there? Our mission field is just outside the walls of this chapel or wherever God sends you. A lot of you have loads on board now that will deliver tomorrow. Some of you be loading tomorrow. All of that is directed by the Lord. Let the dispatcher think that she or he gave you that load. The real truth of the matter is God did. Now, by the way, I don't like all of them he gave me. I didn't want to go there. Chicago, are you crazy? To the city? Uh-uh. But that's where we're supposed to go. So we'll be a witness of that light. The book of Ephesians is a good book to go to sometime as a guideline on following how we're to learn how to go ahead, turn to page 192. While we're learning to respond to others. Now, again, I like for everybody to like me. I like for everybody to be friendly, but it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Whatever you do, whatever you stand for, whatever you like, somebody ain't going to like it. I settled that issue a long time ago. And by the way, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't know this word, you'll fall for a lot of Satan's lies, because he's good. He's good. We talked a week or ago or so about how cunning he is. He masquerades as an angel of light, Satan. Got to know your enemy, but we don't worry about it. We're not afraid of him. Ephesians 4:17, page 192. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. All this is talking about all of us before we got saved. We like to point at somebody else, but that was you and me before we got saved. Every one of us. We're either walking in the light or we're walking in darkness. There's no in between. Drop all the way down to Drop down to verse 31 in that. Chapter 4, verse 31. It goes on to tell us, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Woo-hoo. When he's calling on me to forgive somebody else, he just kind of reminds me of what he forgave me for. And in essence, he says, if I can forgive you, you can forgive them. What if they don't ask for forgiveness? Doesn't matter. You forgive them anyway. I had a guy ask me to forgive him one time for something he did. He was and still is one of my best friends. But he told a lie about me. And God had me call him on it to let him know I knew it. And he asked me to please forgive him. I said, I forgave you right after I heard it. Otherwise, it would eat me up. I know Satan's tricks too, right? He would have eaten me up with it. So I forgave him. Doesn't matter if somebody asked for it or not. Be kind, tenderhearted, and forgive one another. Today, everybody's in such a hurry that we don't have time. We think we don't have time to help one another. Just don't have time. We got all the time in the world. I got in a habit one time of saying, if I only had time, I'd like to do so and so. If I had time, I would do so and so. And God spoke to my heart and said, there's 24 hours in your day just like there was to start with. It's what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your time? Turn to John chapter 13, page 108. Let's see what Jesus told us to do. We've read some in Ephesians. And by the way, read all of that when you get time. Ephesians 4, at least 17 through 32. Check that out. Keep the Bible with you, of course, and read all of that. Page 108, John 13:35. Again, Jesus talking to the disciples. And again, when he talks to the disciples, he's talking to you and me. Here's our instruction. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Is that right? Am I in the right place? Is that not John 13:34? I said 13:35. I started 34. I'm sorry.
We'll forgive you.
Okay. Again. I'm sorry. I threw you off. I started in 34. That you love one another as I've loved you. 35. Now here's the clincher. Here's the clincher. This is called living the life. This is called living the gospel instead of preaching the gospel. It's easy to talk it. It's harder to walk it. Day in and day out. Verse 35. Jesus said, by this all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That's right. What's a disciple? A follower. Just a follower. If you're born again, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a disciple. We don't use that title these days, but in fact, we are disciples. In fact, I dare say you're a disciple of somebody. You're following somebody. He said, if people see us loving one another, and I don't mean physically necessarily, because at my church we're huggers, you know. Hugger. Hug the men, hug the women. I'm a greeter, one of the greeters. I had greeter duty this morning, and I was at one of the entrances to our church. And just hug them. Say, good morning. How you doing? You know, well, when the world sees us loving one another, they're going to want some of that. Everybody wants to be loved. I don't care who it is. The hardest, the so-called meanest, that's just a person that needs love. And they're expressing their need in a different way. They might express it with violence. But they're saying, I'm hurting. What that person's saying is, I'm hurting. I told a guy that on CB one time. He was calling me several things besides Reverend. That's okay. If I'd been in his shoes and him in mine, I'd have probably called him that. Right? He just didn't know. And I spoke on CB. I said, listen to him saying how much he's hurting. I don't hurt. I said, you're saying it all the better now. What you're saying is, I sure wish I had Jesus in my life. I didn't say that. I said, oh, yes, you did. That's what I heard. And my news to you, my friend, is you can have Jesus in your life. Very simple. Very simple. He just didn't know. He didn't know that's what he needed or wanted. Amen. Tell him about it. Tell him about it. And, of course, he wants to know where I'm at. You know, Leroy Brown, I call him, wants to know where he at, and I tell him. Mile marker so-and-so is such and such a truck. I mean, hey, I pull over and stop if you want to. Ain't no big deal. I get my gun, fine. Bring it on. Because if the man I serve don't protect me, he's a liar. And that he ain't. Amen? Now again, I'm not inciting a riot now. I'm just doing what he told me to do. I'm not out there. You can get out of God's will, get hurt. But when you're doing what he tells you to do, you're covered. Psalm 91, the Christian's assurance policy, I call it. 16 verses of a promise. If verse 1 and 2 describes you, by the way. All right, let's go on. Running out of time. Let me go. Turn to page 173. We'll get a little of this. 173. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Talking about the members of the body of Christ. We're all in the same body. If we're born again Christians, whether you're Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, none of that don't count. That's okay. That's your choice. Your choice. We're all a part of the family. Turn on over to page 225. Let's go on. Running out of time. I'm not running out of time. You may be. I got all night. I got nothing better to do. Page 225, James, the book of James, chapter 1, will be in verse 19, supposedly. Today, he's calling us as born-again Christians to be doers of the word. To do it. To walk it, not just talk it. James chapter 1, verse 19, are you there? So then, my beloved brethren, all right, my beloved brethren, who is that? Christian. Right? That's us. Everybody. Every man ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak. I wish that wasn't in there. I'll mark that out. Slow to wrath. Oh, look at verse 20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Woo! That's tough, ain't it? That's tough. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to do what? Ain't that what we want? Look at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Whoa. Do what it says. It says be a witness. Be a witness. And we are a witness, really, whether we know it or not, either a good one or a bad one. Be a witness. Verse 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But if he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, here's the catch, here's the deal, continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be what? That's what I want. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. You know, I can't get one of your blessings. If you don't get them, they're never gotten. Did you know that? But I want to get every one of mine. I don't want to get to heaven and be so proud and walk in and walk up to a warehouse with my name on it. This ain't going to happen probably, but... What if you walked up to a warehouse and it was full of all kind of wonderful stuff? He said, what is that? And Peter or somebody says, that's all your blessings you never got. Too busy worried about yourself. Too busy doing something else instead of seeking God and letting Him bless you. Hello? And I'm not talking about stuff necessarily. That ain't necessarily a blessing. Not about stuff. I tell you what, peace. I got peace that money can't buy. Just peace. Lay down on a pillow at night, and if it's over during the night, it's all right. They strapped me down to do that heart ablation back in 04, and I said this over and over, but I tell you what, had total peace. It's okay. Either way it goes, it's okay with me. In fact, I'm prone to go the other way. That's selfish of me, of course. That's selfish of me, want to go on to be with the Lord. Man, I get to read about heaven and listen to a lot of the Gaither music like we were listening to before and hearing these people sing about heaven, and I see some of them on there, on the next one they're not, they're gone. Howard Vestal Goodman, you know, on and on and on, these saints of God that sung for many, many years, and they're in heaven now. And I get to thinking, they are living, they are looking at what they sung about. Makes me want to go see it. Makes me want to go home. Now, I'm not going to do nothing stupid. Please understand what I'm saying. I long to go there. So let's get our work done so we can get out of here. At some point in time, he's going to say, enough. And he says, to be my witnesses. The children of Israel was in bondage for all those years, hundreds of years. And they would cry out, God, how much longer? How long? Watched the movie again at the house the other night about Moses. Good Lord of mercy. I'd have killed them all. I mean, he couldn't please them to save his life. If you ever watch that, or better yet, forget Charlton Heston, read it in the Bible. Constantly complaining. Constantly complaining. Never mind, we just took you out of slavery, and that's all you ever known. Now you're free. Ain't that like us? Never enough. Never enough. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you walking in the Word today? Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him personally? A little more radical. If you drop dead this second, don't do that in here, by the way. But if you were to drop dead, and any of us could at any second, just the other night, right here on I-75, just south of here, a driver going down the road probably thinking about home, heaven only knows what he was thinking about. A car cut him off, he went in the woods and was dead like that. Just like that. Life snuffed out, 40-something years old. Gone. If that happened to me, I know without any shadow of a doubt, when I opened my eyes, I'd be looking at Jesus. I'd be in heaven. Not because of my goodness, but because of what He said. I prayed a prayer. I confess my sins, and when some more comes along, I confess that too. Not if, but when, right? When I mess up, But he said, in fact, turn over to page 234. I want you to see this in print. I want you to know that this is a promise that I didn't come up with, but I'm sure glad it's there. Page, what's that?
Who picked all these page numbers out?
I actually did it today.
Amen. You're doing a good job.
I was thinking of you, Kerry.
Well,
I had some time this afternoon out here in the motorhome
to
do some more study. Praise the Lord. What a promise. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You see verse 9? If we do what? He'll do what? Wow. He'll forgive us our sins and wow. And some of us, that takes Clorox and everything else.
Ajax.
Some soaking in bleach. And you know how long that process takes? Like that. I will never understand that, but just like that, you're born again. Now, of course, that starts a new adventure. That starts, that changes everything. Changes everything. My taste buds changed. It had nothing to do with being saved, but it was ironic. It was interesting to me that I liked foods that I didn't used to like. Now, that has nothing to do with salvation, by the way. But it was because the drugs and all that stuff was gone out of my life, I could taste things I couldn't taste before. It turned out to be pretty bad, too. Build on to the temple. Tonight, I want to close this meeting. In case there's somebody here that's not sure, in case there's somebody here maybe never accepted Christ, or maybe you have, and maybe things aren't like they ought to be. Let's put it that way. Some people call it backslidden. Let's just say you're not in God's will tonight, and you know that. I want to pray a simple prayer, and I want to ask everybody in here, we're going to do what this scripture says to do. We're going to confess our sin. We're not going to itemize them. But if you pray this prayer with me and mean it, I promise you, based on the authority of the Word of God, you will be born again. Now, I want everybody to pray it so that you that wants to or needs to won't be stand out. I don't believe in embarrassing people. I just don't believe in doing that. So we're all going to pray it together, and only you and God know whether you mean it or not. Nobody's going to come around and check on you. But I'll know when I see you again. When I see your action, when you see me, when I don't think you're looking, okay? My everyday life, so to speak, when you see me, you say, yes, Jesus is in him, or no, he's not, one or the other. But tonight is your opportunity to give it to the Lord. The Bible says, cast all of our care on him because he cares for us. I love that. I'm so thankful he does it. And I do that just about every day. Say, God, it's just too much for me to carry. You're going to have to take it. And I don't say you have to. He's more than willing to take it. He probably said, I've been waiting on you to do that forever. I mean, you know, you can't carry it. You don't expect me to carry it. Some of you are burdened down by things in life. You think, I'll never be able to live the life I should. No, you can't. But God in you can't. I can't, but the Holy Spirit, remember that power? Through him I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's pray this together. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need to do that. You're right. But supposing somebody beside you or around you needs to. Let's do that together with your heads up and eyes open. As I've said many times, you need to learn how to pray with your eyes open. Because if you're going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. And don't get on your knees. You might not see that motorhome coming. But I've done more praying, honestly, just going down the road driving, just talking to God, praising him. Thank you, Lord, that I can see. Thank you, Lord, I can hear. Thank you, Lord, I can feel. Thank you, Lord, I'm alive. And I drove. We just did a 8,000-mile trip. And going out across the deserts and the mountains and all of that we saw, I'd just say, thank you, God. You painted a beautiful picture just for me. Why you left that rock over there, I'll never know. But I'm glad you did. You look good. Ain't nothing out here but that rock. But my father did that, right? And he knows me. And he knows you. And he'll forgive you if you mean this when we pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Your word says you will. I believe you will. And right now, in Jesus' name, I receive your forgiveness. All of my sins are gone. Now help me to live the life that you want me to live. I can't do it alone, but with you in me, I can. I read your word.
I receive your word.
I believe your word. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, according to what you meant in your heart, and it's all individual. You know, that's what I like about it. There's no group salvation. All individual. And as long as you want to, as long as you want him there, he'll be there. But I've learned one thing about him. He's a gentleman. He will not force his way in your life. I wish he would sometime. I wish he'd hit me side the head with a two before and make me do right. But he lets me make choices that are not good. But that's a growing process, okay? So grow in the Lord. Take that Bible with you and read it. Start in the book of John, where we started tonight, the book of John. And keep going, line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. You'll learn who Jesus was and who he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Great. Thank you for being here.